Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Coming up on TMS, Brian's booger plates.
There is no D in Alabama.
The guy on Twitter was wrong.
They're just pro potato.
The hour of power off.
They aren't quite right in the giant head.
Don't inject spice, girls.
Reading is hard. Let's ban things.
Pull the lever, not that lever.
What happens in Orleans stays off Noom.
A Netflix original. How original.
I work on LSD.
Bozeman, what's his power?
Fart activated lights.
What's the deal with the guy crossing the street?
Major spoilers and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Guess what? I've started swearing.
How about you, Daniel? Are you swearing too?
Not yet, but Jerry's gonna teach me.
Now let's make some joints.
The Morning Stream.
In love, have a beer. Yeah. This is the Morning Stream.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to the Morning Stream for Monday, January 31st, 2022. I'm Scott Johnson. That guy right there is Brian Ibbett.
Hello.
Hey, did you...
Hello. I don't know how to say that with a hello. Creole accent. Hello.
Hello, y'all. That's what you say.
Exactly.
Hey, did you know that was Mark Spagnuolo? Let me play it again.
Now let's make some joints.
Yeah, he wants to make some joints.
I thought so, because I knew it was like either the I like to make stuff guy who has a very similar temperament and delivery to Mark.
Yeah, they're very, very similar. But once in a while, he'll pop up on my YouTube or my TikTok algorithm and he'll say a funny thing that's like out of context. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to start capturing the wood whisperer saying things about joints that are really, he's talking about wood. He's talking about wood joints. I'm not talking about the smoking kind, you know?
Oh, really? Even though he lives in Colorado.
Yeah,
what?
Right. I know.
What?
Missed opportunity. All right. Yeah, so as you can tell,
he's been smoking some trees. You know, the only thing that comes up in my TikTok algorithm, even though I never like them, I never subscribe to them, but it's 30 seconds of standing there looking at the camera, mouthing the words to some comedian's stand up. And then,
really?
Whoop, 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 like doing a little dance with the twerking and the arms forward. It's like,
wow.
I never watch a whole one of these things. I never hit the love, the little heart icon. I never subscribe to these people. Why do you still send me these?
Yeah, I get nothing but cute dog, cat, animal things and fail videos. Apparently, I'm real fond of those.
I'm just... It's such a weird thing to say, but boy, I guess I need to watch more TikTok for it to figure out what I like.
That's literally what that thing does, I guess, is it as it does that. Jeannie, I am shocked you're not going to put TikTok on your phone. Shocked. I can't believe it. Stop the presses and pull up your dresses, everybody.
How do I decide? Is not seeing the things I don't want to see on TikTok just not looking at TikTok? Or is it... looking at the things I want to look at on TikTok for a long time until it finally figures out what I want to look
That's
like
a really good point.
Look at on TikTok.
Yeah, this is the point. It depends on the burden of do you want to see less of the thing you don't like or more?
The law of diminishing returns. I'm sure that's in there somewhere, and I don't know where it is.
That's awesome. All right, so Brian, as you all noticed, he disappeared unceremoniously last Thursday when the show ended. It kind of sucked because we were in the middle of the windy thing, and I didn't notice it right away because you know how it gets on that segment.
Yeah.
She's sort of intense. She's telling this thing. Neither of us are talking over her. And then she asked, I think we got to a point where she either asked you a question or it was like a thing that you would naturally come in at. And I'm like, oh shit, oh, really? He's not even here. Like his picture's gone. That's why it's so quiet over there. And then when I texted you, I thought, oh no, he's not answering. What the frick happened? Did Colorado get sucked into a giant lava pit or what happened over there?
Did a meteor hit the house?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the weirdest part of it, right? Because so like everything went out in the house,
yeah.
Right? The power, dark down here. There's a window way over there, but it wasn't, you know, it was just super dark.
Sure.
However, I do have my computers down here on a battery backup that beeps constantly while, you know, to let you know, yeah, hey, you're running on battery backup.
Yeah.
So it's like, ooh, quit, saves, you know, put this, or I'm going to quit out of these applications the right way instead of abruptly and stuff like that.
Sure.
But with the routers gone, my phone's like, well, your Wi-Fi doesn't seem right. Are you trying to send a text? I'm texting Scott like, hey, power just went out here. It hasn't come back up yet.
Yeah.
Nothing. So I'm like, well, I turn off Wi-Fi on my phone still. And I don't know if it's something, some interference or something, but I couldn't send texts until we physically left the house in the neighborhood.
Must have hit the cell towers in your zone or something.
Something. Yeah, yeah. Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's always the, I was saying this pre-show, but that fear of like, all right, what was on? What was turned on when the power went out that will automatically come back on again when the power comes back on?
Yeah.
Are there going to be lights or the coffee heat plate or something like that? Will my Ember mug spontaneously burst into flames because it's charging?
Ooh, that happened at the end of Curb Your Enthusiasm season before last. Yeah, remember that?
Oh, did it really?
Yeah, that was the whole thing that burned down his Spike coffee shop was the, what's his name?
Oh, yeah.
Leon left one of the coffee cup heaters on that they
right,
had. It was
right,
the same
yeah,
thing, and it ended up burning the whole damn thing down. So,
yeah
scary.
But fortunately, nothing that was an issue, with the exception of
uh-oh,
our garage door.
Oh,
which,
shit.
As you know, garage door openers need power to open.
Yeah.
And you've got the process of going out there, pulling the little handle, manually lifting the garage door, pulling the car out, then manually lowering the garage door. We could not get that thing to latch. I had to get a ladder out. I had to go back into the garage through the house, get a ladder out, get up to the thing where it's supposed to latch at the yeah, the door,
the little hook, yeah,
and like move things and push things to finally get it to actually close so that somebody couldn't just walk by and go, one yeah, finger raise the garage door and they're done.
But I had to do that recently for some other reason, maybe similar, I guess. We had no power and we had to leave, mm-hmm, and so we went and did it manually, like the olden times where you open your garage and shut it. Yeah. Ours has a little turny job outside, so you can lock it and have it stay, yeah, even though you're not hooked. But
same
getting that
ours,
hook back
yeah,
on was a nightmare. It was so hard getting that to like get exactly where it needs to be. And it took like three of us. Somebody had to hold the thing open just a little higher than it would normally hang while Kim was up in the thing doing this. And I'm over here on the other side holding the other end of the hook. It was a nightmare. It was horrendous.
Oh, so, pain in the ass.
Yeah.
So
there you have
anyway,
it.
Anyway, good news is, got out to the airport. Power didn't come on, by the way, for like an hour out here. There was just something with the weather, the snow. We had blizzard conditions later that day, but it wasn't so bad as we were leaving. I guess it was bad enough.
That's good, though.
But
you don't fly out and that stuff's the worst.
Oh, it is, yeah. Got out to the airport, though. Got on a plane, got to New Orleans, and just had such a great time. Ate like I was not reporting everything on Noom, which I didn't for the weekend, for most of the weekend. I did report a few things, but had some incredible, like, crawfish etouffee, and we went to a haunted restaurant called Muriel's. The owner hung himself in the rafters, but they noticed a lot of, you know, weird things happening, like tables being turned over overnight when employees would show up in the morning to open and stuff like that. So now they set a plate, they set a whole table for him in part of the restaurant, and even have like his favorite wine poured every night and a baguette on the table. But as a guest, and I wish I would have known this because I would have done it, as a guest, you can actually request that table and sit at his table.
Oh.
As long as you ask him before you sit down.
Really? They don't have his corpse.
He flips over a wine glass, then you're, you know.
You don't, there's not, he doesn't have like a, his old dried up corpse isn't still hanging up there, right?
Not to my knowledge, okay. But this is New Orleans. It certainly could be.
That'd be amazing. Yeah.
I went to Acme Seafood first night and had like, I show you the pre-cooked oysters, but they do char-grilled oysters there.
Brian.
I know you don't like the raw, but
first thing Brian does, yeah, I can eat cooked oysters, but Brian, first thing he does is go and send me booger plates in the photo.
Check out these sea boogers.
Yeah, big old shells. I mean, they looked legit. So they looked good. If you cook those,
if you like
I'm
oysters,
in.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're sucking them raw, F off. Can't do it. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah.
And then, of course, had to go to Café du Monde and get beignets. We also, the next day, did another chain out there called Café Beignet. It's like a local New Orleans chain.
Yeah.
That place sucks.
Really?
Like, yeah, it's like more of a sit-down restaurant. Yeah. Café du Monde is, hey, we've got this, we've got an area where you walk up, you pay, you get your beignets, your coffee, and you go take it to a table and eat it.
Sure.
This other place, Café Beignet, is like, you place your order at the counter, then we'll bring it to you. And they serve it to you with chinette styrofoam plates and plastic forks and knives. And everything was bland. Their grits were the most bland grits I've ever had.
Boo.
It's like, oh, this place sucks.
Boo.
So
boo.
If you go to New Orleans, Café du Monde, absolutely. There's a reason that place is touristy and popular. It's because it's absolutely worth it.
Yeah.
Crispy outside on the beignets and all that stuff.
Oh, man.
But this other place is just like, oh, yeah, we'll make the beignets and we will dump a quarter of a cup of powdered sugar on each and every one.
Legitimate beignets are food of the gods. Anything else is kind of gross if they don't get it right, you know? Oily, weird. Yeah. Doughy.
Or doughy, right. Undercooked in the middle.
Yeah.
So naturally I brought back some beignet dough from Café du Monde. I can't imagine. I mean, they're basically sopapillas. It can't be that hard to actually make it from scratch, but there's something, if you ever saw the Jon Favreau and Roy Choi episode of The Chef Show where they screwed up making Café du Monde beignets.
Never saw that.
Apparently the water wasn't cold enough or something, but so we had to bring back some. I'm going to try doing it in the air fryer and see if I can do.
Yeah. Why wouldn't that work? That would work, right? That would work.
I think it would. It seems like it would work.
Yeah.
We popped onto Bourbon Street like once just so I could show Tina. This is the magic, the special place known as Bourbon Street.
Mm.
Long enough to see. The drunks, the the buskers, who now have a new thing.
Yeah.
So when I was there, I think like 1998, 1999, last time, there was the trend were the tap dancing kids who just stick bottle caps in the bottom of their shoes and they tap dance and you give them a buck or two.
Sure.
No kids when we were out there. The new thing is, you know the people who put on a ton of silver paint and they pose like they're robots or white paint and make themselves look like statues and that sort of thing?
Yeah, and you get up to them and if you mess with them, they'll mess with you and all that stuff.
And,
yeah,
and like, you know, if you don't realize they're statues, they try and scare the crap out of you.
Yeah.
Well, now the new thing is they make themselves look like they're in the middle of doing something and then they just froze. So one of them is like walking across the street and he's on the tip of one foot and the heel of another.
Oh, right.
And just staying like that. And it's like, wow, that looks like it would hurt for a while, but what am I going to do?
They got like
take
a steel
a picture of you.
They got like a steel thing in there. Like a, I saw one in Vegas. It was like this. And the guy,
the ones in Vegas are insane.
They're insane. They look like they're like running through wind or something.
Yes,
and then if you see him pack up, it's like, oh well, their coat is this stiff thing that's like all starched. Their pants, yes. Same thing, and then they got like a metal rod that they basically
that
sit like on, but it makes it look like they're running.
Seat.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Now those are cool. Those are well done.
Yeah,
we saw these guys move. There was nothing. They had no devices. They were just on their heel and their toe, and you think, all right, that's really cool. But what's the point? I'm going to take a picture of you. To like send back to my friends at home, say, check out this guy. It's going to be like, oh, check out this guy who was walking across the street. and you just happen to snap a picture as he was walking across the street. What's the point?
Yeah, what is the point of that? That's dumb.
So we said, you know, screw Bourbon Street. We had a server say, no, you know what you do is you go to Frenchman Street. It's all live music, and you just go from place to place, which is exactly what we did. I sent some posts on Twitter, put up some shots of where we went, but started out in one blues place and watched this guy for a while. He was awesome. Then went down the street. There was like a washboard hillbilly kind of music place. There were like, that place was awesome. And then another blues one. And then we ended up at an hour long drag show.
Oh, nice. Never know when those are going to crop up.
And they were great. I mean, they were a blast. Yeah. We did Mardi Gras World, which, if you go to New Orleans and you say, I'm not going to do Mardi Gras World, it seems touristy. No, no, do it. Especially this time of year. We went there and this is actually, I thought it was, oh, this is where they put all of the old Mardi Gras floats and stuff. And there is some of that. There's a lot of that. But it's also where they're building all of the floats for this year's Mardi Gras. So we sat there and we watched them like carving styrofoam. They like glue huge sheets of styrofoam together and then they carve it and they use a heat gun and they use like big knives and little knives. They have a giant robot arm that does robot arms that does that like works like a 3D printer, and so you put in your little 3D image and it'll go, and this thing is immense.
That's cool.
And it'll cut this thing up, and then they're painting it, and so we got to see, we were there with Trisha before Tank Girl, and watched that for a while. That was the coolest thing.
That is rad. Who knew they were doing like a modern technique on an ancient art, basically, like anything to do with those old parades. It's always just been like old-fashioned methods. I didn't know they did anything else. That's pretty cool.
Totally, yeah, right. Yeah. You think, oh, okay, it's, you know, handmade just like it always has been. No, they've upgraded the technology for making those things.
Were some of them like big freaky heads and stuff like that?
Yeah.
I love that stuff.
Oh, yeah, I took some pictures, and I should put those up, but it's weird giant heads that aren't quite right, but you're gonna forgive it because it's on such a huge scale, like, wow, that mouth is probably a lot larger than it should be, or that nose doesn't look quite right.
Anything else would not be acceptable. Like, it needs to be really like off-putting for it to work right.
Exactly.
I love that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's very cool.
We also met up with J-Funktastic, Jason, and his girlfriend Angelina. They were absolutely lovely as well. Met them for lunch on Saturday, and they were just super, super nice people.
J-Funktastic is a good guy, man. He is a good dude.
He really is. Yeah. He's absolutely one of the good ones.
Yeah.
His girlfriend is lovely and didn't look, you know, like weirded out that, all right, this guy wanted to come meet somebody he heard on a podcast for lunch. She was just totally.
That's
totally
good. She just went with the swing of the thing. I get it. That's cool.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And last thing I want to mention is so we did the ghost tour after our dinner at Muriel's. One of the first things we did after that was go on this ghost tour we had planned for the same night, and one of the first stops was that restaurant where you get the whole story about the guy who hanged himself. But our tour guide. All right, so this was a recommendation. You had forwarded a tweet that Geek Mom had posted about going to New Orleans and doing a ghost tour.
Yep.
And I said, great, this is exactly, I wanted somebody to give me a recommendation of one to do, because there's 1,000. And while you're out there on your ghost tour, every little cluster of people is another ghost tour. It's like everywhere, all over the place.
They're all there for the same thing.
They're all, people at night in New Orleans are either drunk in bars or walking around on a ghost tour.
Or both. Why not both, I say? Do both.
Or maybe both.
Yeah.
But our guy was, he was absolutely entertaining, if not maybe a little weird. First off, you think I say, oh, what's funny is, you know, I think I say that a lot. Or I used to be, for me, it used to be absolutely. Like, I'd say absolutely way too much, and somebody made a mashup of me saying absolutely 1,000 times. This guy, every sentence would begin with, and what we'll find, ladies and gentlemen, of course, is the da-da-da-da. But he'd put those three things, the what we'll find, the ladies and gentlemen, and the of course, in a different order all the time. Like, and I don't think it was intentional. It was just like a little nervous tick. So it's like, ladies and gentlemen, of course, what we'll find is that, you know, years later, this hand will be found in a dishwasher in Schenectady.
Yeah.
Or another one is like, oh, what we'll find, of course, ladies and gentlemen, is that this owner will have hung himself in the top thing inside that window right there. Every single.
Look, some people have a verbal crutch. This guy's got a verbal walker, it sounds like to me.
He does. It's like absolutely a verbal walker. And we could not figure out the accent. He was from Alabama originally.
Yeah.
And there were times that it sounded like, all right, he's trying to sound like he's from New Orleans. But then there's times that he's trying to sound like he's from Alabama. Or then there are times that there was no accent whatsoever.
So like the guy in
Matt Damon.
He's an Asian. Really? That Asian dude in that movie we saw that was so weird. Had Tony Todd in it for a hot second. And then they went out to the...
Oh, yes. It was the boat tour. Hatchet.
Hatchet. It sounds like that, someone trying to fake a New Orleans, you know, they don't really quite know what voice they're doing or whatever. It sounds a little like that.
A little bit like that. He was great. He was entertaining. He, while we're out on our ghost tour, we actually got interrupted by a second line, which is so cool to see one of those live. The funeral, the post funeral processions.
Yeah, those are awesome.
So, like, first line is that slow, as they're, you know, going down the street.
Yeah.
Second line is like, no, we're cutting loose, and we got the instruments, and they're just playing like it's a big old party. That it was freaking amazing.
Yeah, those are really something. I've seen maybe two of those, and it's never a thing you want to. You never just go, oh, another one of these, and then you're like, oh, another one of these. Which I know it's sad and everything. Somebody died, but still, it's pretty rad. It's really cool how they do that down there.
Really cool. Yeah. So anyway, had a great time. I'm sure, you know, stuff I'll think of other stuff later, but
nice.
Yeah, very much like the live and let die James Bond thing. I think of what's the Mickey Rourke, my favorite Mickey Rourke thing.
Oh, the shotgun and the vagina.
Lisa Bonet. Yes, exactly.
What's that called?
Angel Heart.
Angel Heart.
All I could think of was Wild at Heart, Angel Heart.
Yeah.
But there's a scene where Mickey Rourke was tearing through a first line and, you know, to the point where it knocks over the casket and there's like a body in there and stuff.
Yeah, any the Big Easy I always think of, even though that movie is a huge stereotype of what it's like down there.
And that might be, that's a worse New Orleans accent than the one our guy was trying to
do. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Quaid's accent there. The other thing, while we were there, they were filming...
Hard Target 2!
Hard Target 2. Wouldn't it be great?
Oh, sorry, I got excited for a
second. They were filming
a
sequel there. Yeah. They were filming Interview with a Vampire. There's a new AMC... TV show that's going to be Interview with a Vampire, closer to the books than the Tom Cruise movie.
Yeah, give that a series treatment. That's cool. I like that.
Exactly. And then they were filming the sequel to Haunted Mansion, Disney's Haunted Mansion. Don't forget, that movie came out the same year as Pirates of the Caribbean, because I don't think they were filming the sequel to Muppet's Haunted Mansion.
No, the good one, you mean. Not the you were talking about the terrible one with Eddie Murphy.
That's the one I think they were filming
Is he there? Did you see Eddie Murphy?
No.
Oh.
No, but I think there was a lot of cast there because parts of the road were closed off. We were going to a gallery that was on the road, an art gallery that was on that road. But there were a bunch of people like with their cameras out taking pictures of some people that were across the street, and I didn't get a good look.
Interesting.
That's who it was.
That's cool, though, to hear that there's still, you know, I know a lot of times you'll have that as a backdrop and they don't actually film there. So it's cool when they film there, you know.
So it is, I've looked it up, it's a Haunted Mansion remake, not a sequel to the 2003 film, but a reboot of the franchise. Do we have...
That seems good.
...actors listed for this?
That first movie was really bad.
Oh, it horrendous.
Really bad. Like, so bad, it's hard for me to... I wish I could relive that 2 hours in a different way.
Yeah, looks like Tiffany Haddish, maybe? I don't know.
I like her. She's good.
I do, too.
Yeah.
I can see her. I can see all these people probably being there. All these, you know.
It's probably a Disney Plus deal, right? I'm going to do some kind of original.
I'm sure it will be. Yeah.
Doesn't seem like a theater movie. to me.
No.
I could be wrong. We're getting this weird argument with a stranger on the internet. I know that happens. Yesterday. I know, weird. but it was weird because they were insistent that none of the big streaming companies, Netflix, Disney Plus, HBO Max, this sort of thing, none of them bankroll projects. They only pay to have something, the rights to run something on their service. And I said, well, if you're talking about old movies, yeah. But, dude, Netflix has got like, I don't know, if you're just counting movies, it's like 200 movies. If you count TV shows, it's way more than that. They bankroll shit every day. I don't know what this guy was talking about. It was the dumbest argument, and he just couldn't see it. I said, no. When they say Netflix original, you know what that means? Or when a movie says a Netflix film, and here's Martin Scorsese doing a thing, they're the studio. They're the money in this. Scorsese didn't go, I'm going to pay for it on myself because I'm Martin Scorsese. He didn't do that. It's not just rights.
Pikram are saying, no, Netflix isn't making those. They're still just buying the rights.
No, they're not. That is 100% incorrect. They're not just going, hey, we'll buy that. Oh, we'll buy that. That's not how it works. They fund full-blown projects top to bottom.
Right. They're the producers. They're basically the producers, yes.
Yeah, they buy rights for some. That's mostly TV, though. You know, like Squid Game is not a Netflix original in the sense that they made it. I understand that. That's not what I'm talking about. There's a mix there for sure, just like there is anywhere. What I'm saying is this idea that Netflix doesn't have a single film that they didn't bankroll, I'm telling you, it's in the dozens. Y'all are insane. Find me proof to the contrary, and I'll eat my hat on the air. But I'm telling you, they don't just spend money to go, can we play it here? That's not how it works. They make originals. So there you go. Yeah, they buy Sundance movies. What do you think other studios normally do? No one ever goes, Sony, Fox, whoever. Let's say Fox Searchlight bought this movie from Sundance. That doesn't mean that they bought it so they had the rights to it. It means that they bankrolled it. That's bankrolling. Bankroll! Right.
Hey, some of the stars that were there for the filming, apparently, we never saw them, or if we saw them, we didn't recognize them because they had masks covering half their faces. Lakeith Stanfield, Tiffany Haddish, Owen Wilson, Rosario Dawson, and Danny DeVito.
Oh, well, this is quite the star-studded spectacular.
Those are all like stars of the reboot of Haunted Mansion.
Yeah, I'm guessing. I'm 100% sure this is coming to Disney Plus.
I would guess, yeah.
Probably paid for by Disney, I'm thinking. You know?
Probably paid for by I would think paid for by Disney.
No, you don't think don't think some Korean guy made it and then they just bought it? You don't think that's how that worked? Interesting.
Scott follows arguing with a guy on Twitter.
All right, before we get to Dunaway, we got to make sure people know they have one day left on something or else they're screwed. So tell them what
damn
it is.
Right. 24 hours, people. If you have any interest in learning, in upgrading your craft, listen, we all like podcasts. We all like listening to them, and quite a few of us like making them. And if you are one of those that likes making them, and you've been making them for less than 10 years, no matter how new you are to the craft, you want to be able to do it better, now's your chance. America's Next Top Podcaster applications close at the end of the day today, so please get in your applications, and you'll find it right there on the homepage of americasnexttoppodcaster.com.
Yeah. Who wants to be the next person jury yells at? Who do you want to be? Who do you want to have jury yell in your face? Then sign up. Get in there.
Skill level, don't worry if you don't have a high skill level. We actually learn stuff from the people who haven't been doing this for 15 years as much as the people who have, because they haven't fallen into a bunch of bad habits like
that's
the rest of us.
That's so true. Bad habits like this guy coming on the show right now.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, that guy. Hey, look who it is, everybody. Brian Dunaway joining us. Hi.
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Hello.
I'm doing good. Yeah. How is your Monday?
Is your it's not bad. Is your COVID just gone? It's done. You're not no long COVID for you. You're good.
I'm done with COVID. I said, stuff it, you stupid COVID.
Yeah, take that. The big
I did.
C.
Well, I was sick. I got sick early in January. Mm-hmm. I was out, just down and out for about 2 weeks. Really miserable. Third week was pretty bad, and I called. I called the doctor, and the doctor said, no more jumping on the, no, I called the doctor, and he said, He said, it sounds like you still got like a maybe like a bacterial infection going on as well. And so I got some antibiotics, took those, and now I feel, for the most part, back to myself.
That's good. That makes me very happy to hear that, because I'm going to need you later today at 3:30, which we'll talk about later. Hey, look at this. Yeah. It's Brian Dunaway, which means time for another Morning Squirm with Brian Ibbett here. Brian, why don't you tell us who's participating and what they might win?
I will do exactly that. Welcome to the Morning Squirm, a back-and-forth trivia game where our players will match wits on topics that Cliff Clavin would have offered up at the Cheers Bar. These two chuckleheads are going to take turns answering multiple-choice trivia questions, and if they get it wrong, the other player gets a point. The player with the most points after five questions wins the prize for their contestant, and our contestants are pulled from members of the Tadpool that aren't able to listen live. Scott, you're going to be playing for Amanda P. in Bozeman, Montana.
All right.
Bozeman.
Yeah. What's his power, Bozeman? And Brian, you're going to be playing for Robert W. in Montevideo, Minnesota.
Oh.
Ooh, Montevideo.
Montevideo.
It's an odd, odd name for a town, isn't it?
It is. It sounds like a European town.
But I like it. How fun is that?
It sounds like an old video rental store owned by mom and pop down the road. Montevideo. Montevideo.
Anyway. So the prizes that they can win, by the way, winner is going to get a copy of Due Process and Wingspan on Steam, but the runner-up is going to get something called Time Lie. Not Time Line, but Time Lie.
I don't know what that game is. I know what Wingspan is. The rest of them, I'm unsure of any of these, but I'm sure they're good.
Don't know.
Yeah.
Cool. Time Lie? Excellent.
Time Lie.
Time Lie, yeah.
Looking forward on Steam.
I like how you say they're going to get it, like you're making calls, like, yeah, it turns out I got some kind of disease. I just want to let you know you're probably going to get it.
You're going to contract the following Steam games.
Ooh, this looks awesome. And it's currently got overwhelmingly positive reviews. It's newish, too. Came out in 2020.
The one timeline?
Yeah. It looks cool, man. Mm. All right. I'm jealous of whoever wins this. This looks really good.
Excellent. Oh, a stealth puzzle adventure.
Yeah. It looks nice. Graphics look
nice.
Oh, where
you control time like a media player. Oh, that's kind of cool. Wow.
Yeah, it looks pretty
neat. I remember this.
I have no idea what this is, but it looks good.
I never played it, but I remember looking at it. It's an indie title, right?
It has its fans. Oh, yeah. Very indie, Mr. Spindy Indie. All right. Well, let's do it. I'm ready.
Bad dates, indie. All right. So let's get to this. Brian, I think you won last time. So, Scott, you're going to go first.
Great. Bring on some gross question. Yeah.
Speaking of criminals, what was the occupation listed on Al Capone's business card? Was it A, preacher, B, murderer, C, gun collector, or D, used furniture dealer?
The first one was preacher?
Preacher. Mm-hmm.
I want to know who he's giving these business cards out to. That's what I want to know.
Right? Exactly.
I don't actually know. I think it's either A or D, so I got to just pick one.
And it's not vault manager.
You know what? That furniture seems like a thing he would do. I'll say the furniture thing.
You're going to say furniture? Yeah. Okay. Is it used furniture dealer? It absolutely is. Scott gets
it.
I did not know for sure.
It sounded too easy to be true, right?
It totally did, especially when you put murder in there or gun collector. It's like, all right, come on, give me some better fake answers.
It'd be easier to put
Remember the time that Geraldo screwed us all over in the 90s?
The 80s, man. It was like 1985.
Yeah, it's like 85, 86.
I'm going to correct you because it was the 90s where the problem really hit. His little stunt was like, okay, but that spawned all this talk show BS crap that later came with Jerry Springer and all that stuff. It's all directly related. Thanks a lot.
I think we're heading that way no matter what. But Geraldo can eat a turd. I will say this. What was I going to say? I was going to say that.
Nose broke.
The furniture thing would be an easy thing to build a front for. So that also makes sense. Because if he put preacher, he'd have to prove it. You know, like at what point do you prove you're a preacher? But if you say I'm a furniture salesman, you could have a furniture front like a store that's got like booze
in
the back.
I never called anybody out on their business card.
No, for real though. I'm saying if you're Al Capone, right?
Right.
Like if he's trying to evade the law, do it with something you can front real easy, and you can do that with a furniture store.
You can't arrest me. I'm a preacher.
Yeah, I'm a preacher. Prove it.
Throw him a card.
Jesus. And then you, okay, he's a preacher.
Jesus. Right. I'm a business card. All right, Brian, this question is for you. This U.S. state still has a ban on sex toys. So one of our 50 states still has a ban.
Just one?
Just one of our 50 states has a ban on sex toys.
It's got to be South Carolina. Go ahead.
Well,
say the numbers.
All right. Is it A, North Dakota, B, Alabama, C, North Carolina, or D, Idaho?
Oh.
It might be Idaho.
Right? Oh. It feels like all those would be perfect candidates. I'm really, honestly, I am shocked.
They're a weird neighbor.
There's not like at least 13 or more states that say that you can't do it. Mm-hmm. Well, every time I've been in North Carolina, I can't seem to pick up any sexual aid, so that's got to be it.
All right. Is it North Carolina? It is not. Oh, Scott, your remaining choices are North Dakota, Alabama, or Idaho.
That was for Brian. I'm going to say, I'm just going to go with Idaho. I don't know. I just have a feeling.
Yeah. It feels right?
Got to use a potato.
Yeah,
if you go to Idaho.
Use a potato.
You already got... homegrown.
It's not that they're anti-sex toys. They're pro-potato to the degree that they'll only allow a potato to
exactly.
be a sex toy.
Yes.
This potato can be anything. A sexual aid?
No, it's actually not Idaho. It's Alabama. It is the Anti-Obscenity Enforcement Act of 1998.
98? Okay.
That criminalizes the sale of sex toys.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
It was originally put in place as a measure to prohibit nude dancing. But it's extended to anything that is marketed or designed or used primarily for the stimulation of human genital organs for anything of pecuniary value.
Do you want to be happy and feel good? Not here.
No.
Nope.
Go elsewhere.
In Alabama.
Not in Alabama. Boy, where do they got to go to get that? They just cross over to Mississippi and grab a couple?
Yeah. You've got to cross the state lines,
Damn. All right. That's what we do with fireworks. If we want good fireworks in Utah, we have to do the same thing, but it's not nearly as embarrassing. Is going to get
right, yes, exactly.
A dildo in Mississippi.
Hi, can I buy a fleshlight?
I'm from Mobile and we can't get those there.
And this pack of gum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
Anyway. All right. In 2007, by the way, Alabama politician Loretta Nail or Nall. No,
oh.
I can't tell if that's an I or an L.
Please be
a
Nail.
A former, it would be great if she was a Nail. Libertarian Party candidate for governor launched a well-publicized toy drive to send sex toys to Alabama. Alabama Attorney General Troy King.
Wow,
those libertarians do anything to get attention.
Yeah, they got to. Yes. They don't get it. They don't get much else. They have to, man.
I know.
Yeah, if you can be a libertarian, you got to really go for it. Go for the freedom of the sex toy. I'm into it. All right. Well done.
All right. So
I get a point.
Scott, you got a point for that one anyway.
Yeah. Gross.
And you get this next question.
Okay.
Yes.
Hey, look, we all love injecting spices into our body, but this particular one you're going to want to avoid because it could kill you. Is it
God.
Nutmeg, cinnamon, cumin, or peppercorn?
Oh, that's interesting.
I mean,
one of these will kill you if you inject it.
But not all. Obviously, there's all the other ways we consume it, and it's fine.
Correct. Yes.
I'm gonna say nutmeg. Okay. I don't know why. I just want to say it.
Nutmeg.
Nutmeg.
Okay.
Nothing.
Right. Is the answer nutmeg? It is indeed nutmeg. Yeah,
is
nutmeg.
It?
If you inject it, it'll kill you.
Okay. Yep.
How about not injecting any spices into your body?
Yeah.
Unless it's the spices of doom.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. That's gross, man. I don't know why that one rang a bell, but for some reason there was some, like when we were kids, there was something about nutmeg that people warned you about. Maybe it was this, but there was always
you
got to be careful.
Sharp. Even eating it, you're like ah.
Yeah, I can't remember what it was.
But still, to this day, Sporty Spice is still good for you.
Yeah.
Let's go to Brian for this one.
I always knew you were a Sporty Spice girl.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a Sporty Spice kind
girl.
Of guy.
Yeah. Say it.
Girl. All right. I'm a Sporty Spice girl.
Say it.
Please, sir, may I have another. Colgate toothpaste isn't a big seller in countries with certain Spanish dialects because the word Colgate loosely translates to A, your mom is easy, B, shit mouth, C, don't need this, or D, go hang yourself.
Good Lord.
Weird.
Yeah.
That's really that is something.
None
man.
Of those sound right.
Yeah.
So you had poop mouth. Give them to Rick. Just rapid fire,
sure.
Quick.
Sure, rapid fire. Your mom is easy. Shit mouth. Don't need this. Go hang yourself.
What'd I do to you? Oh, it's like you were cursing me out there. I'm going to go go do your mom. What was it again?
Something your with your mom. Is easy. Your mom is
yeah,
easy.
Yeah, your mom go is easy.
Mom. All right. Is it your mom is easy? It is not. Oh. Scott gets the point. Scott, your remaining choices are shit mouth, don't need this, or go hang yourself.
I really don't know. I'll just say go hang yourself.
Go hang yourself is correct.
Yeah. What?
It's you, Scott. Nailing it today.
Don't guess, dude. Don't
so
guess.
There's a colloquial. Is it colloquial?
Colloquial.
Colloquial.
That's what I say.
Colloquial is probably the right way to say it. Yeah. In a colloquial form of Spanish, be pronounced as the same as the toothpaste. Colgate. But more like a Quellgate or Quellgate.
And that deters people from purchasing it? Whatever. I'd purchase exactly. I'd purchase Go Hang Yourself toothpaste right now.
Yeah, do it. Hang your toothpaste. All right.
Exactly. All right, Scott, this last question is for you. You've won the game, but this is your chance to make it a 5-point sweep.
All right.
Look at you.
So telling people that you've got... This is a big lung word or big lung thing. So sphenopalatine ganglioneuralgia would take too damn long because, as I just demonstrated. Ugh. Instead, tell them that you're suffering from this annoying but temporary ailment. Is it brain freeze, pins and needles, frog in your throat, or uncontrollable hiccups? Sphenopalatine ganglioneuralgia.
Gangly.
Maybe Sphenopalatine. Emperor Palpatine.
I'll say brain freeze because I don't
know. Senator Palpatine.
I have no idea. Brain freeze, I'm saying.
All right. Is it brain freeze? Scott sweeps the game for probably the last time.
because the palate... Right?
Yeah, no, that's what got me thinking.
Yes.
Yeah, you know what really threw me today is I got a lot of A's. I got a lot of A's and D's on your list.
Right.
And that usually throws me and makes me feel like I'm not playing the letter field enough, like I'm not choosing enough C's or B's. And so
it's true. With the exception of Alabama, all of today's answers were either A or D.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing to notice, but okay, good.
Yeah. Yeah, well done. D is for dildo in Alabama. A is for Alabama. D is for dildo.
There's no D. There's no D in Alabama.
There's no DNA.
There is no D in Alabama. Well, there you go. So that means who did I win for? Montana.
You won for Amanda P. in Bozeman, Montana. Congratulations, Amanda. You're going to get a copy of Due Process and Wingspan. But Robert W., don't worry. You're going home with a game also that looks really cool called Time Lie.
Yeah. And by the way, Wingspan is based on the board game Wingspan, which I think Dan has recommended to us before.
Yeah.
Let me make sure that's right. Yeah, that's a board game that's very well thought of and loved and adored, and they have a video game version of it, which is also very good. In fact,
cool. It
also has overwhelmingly positive reviews. But I may want to
look
pick
at
that
you
up.
Getting all the winner games.
Yeah, this is right. Amazing. Well done. Who gave us these? Who's the code donator?
I'm sorry, Wesley. Yes, Wesley sent us basically the first of the month. Wesley sends us a bunch of new games and. It's great. Great stuff.
Yeah, Wesley's awesome. So thank you, Wesley. Now get off the bridge. That's it for you, Brian, except to say later today at 3:30, we do another Play Retro show. I can't believe we're, what, four now? Well, this will be
number five.
Five?
This will be number five.
What the frick, dude? I'm going to talk about a couple of controller reviews today. In fact, I got one right here where it just came in last night.
Ooh, look at that.
There we go.
It's like it almost looks like the Sega, but not quite.
It is. It's a Genesis controller, six-button Genesis controller, although it's the 8-bit do kind of reproduction of that. Using this to play Genesis games for future shows and stuff like that. I'll also have some comments on a PC controller that I really ended up liking. But more importantly, we're talking about Berserk today and the other games it inspired and why when you play like a dual-stick shooter today, you owe a lot to a really old game that used to yell at you and say intruder alert as loud as it could.
Chicken.
Yeah, it's an awesome thing. We're going to get deep into all of that stuff on today's Play Retro at 3:30.
Was there a sequel called Frenzy? I seem to remember a sequel. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Was
you
it
are
a sequel
correct,
though?
Very quickly.
Proper sequel? Was it?
Proper yes, sequel,
a
yeah.
true sequel by the same creator of as Berserk.
I have to play that today and just get my head around it. But yeah, we got a bunch of that to talk about. And some progress on my renovation of my dad's old arcade machine. We'll talk about that as well. I'm kind of obsessed with retro right now, and it's all your fault, listeners. Thanks for listening to that show and making
it
kick off real well. Check it out. It's Play Retro wherever you get your podcasts, or you can watch us live today at 3:30 Mountain Time right here on twitch.tv/frogpants. Brian Dunaway, anything else you want to say before you go?
Hey, sure. If you want to watch me play those retro games throughout the week, 6 p.m. Eastern time on my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/Brian Dunaway. No, you.
Kiss my butt. All right. Oh, he preemptively no-you'd me. Damn it.
He did. Well done.
He got me. All right.
That's and fine. And you guys did great. Like, the amount of time that you take in talking about Play Retro, I'm able to get games out to our...
Oh, that's good. That's good. You don't have to worry about it later. That's fantastic.
Because I will forget if I have to worry about it later.
There you have it. We're going to now do a very quick news story. Here you go. Let's play this.
And dance by the light of the moon.
It's time for the news, and it's brought to you by...
From Patron 4 Brewers, he says, we're a beer homebrew podcast. Almost 8 years of podcasting under our belts. Go check us out at 4brewers.com. And you spell out F-O-U-R, brewers.com.
Yeah, four of them, yeah. That's great. 8 years, that's more than most people do podcasts, so congratulations.
It totally is true, yeah.
Well done. Future Hall of Famer. Brian, why is everybody smoking toad venom? I thought of this story.
Oh, I wish I knew.
When I put this in, I thought of you because at the time you were going to New Orleans. Now you've gone. Now you're home.
Oh, is this a New Orleans thing?
Not really, but it just reminds me of something they do there. You know, like, hey, let's go get some toad venom. It just seems like a New Orleans thing. But
you know, for a place that your wife comes from, you sure give that place a bad rap. Like, well, you talk about if you leave a certain street, you will be killed moments after.
Well, for the record, she's 35, 40 minutes east. So she's in the Mississippi side, but
gotcha.
Yeah,
okay.
She's just, you know, she's a half hour away anytime. New Orleans is fine. Don't get me wrong. It's a very cool town.
Yes. We never felt unsafe in the entirety of the French Quarter, even though, I know that, hey, crime is up everywhere, but.
Yeah, you just got to watch it there.
I'm giving you a hard time, Scott.
If you drive too far to the left. Anyway, Southampton soccer mom drops her kids off at school after their thrice weekly microdose of psilocybin mushrooms and then meat for oat milk lattes. What?
The psilocybin. Psilocybin.
Is it psilocybin?
Psilocybin.
I haven't even heard of that. Anyway, and then private retreats dedicated to tripping on MDNA. You know, that's Molly. That's what the kids do is Molly.
Oh, yeah. I hear they dance with Molly. Miley Cyrus did anyway.
Well, in Silicon Valley, tech entrepreneurs and financiers turned psychonauts believe that taking small doses of LSD in either liquid or tab form helps with creativity and productivity in the workforce. Even right-wing internet investor Peter Thiel has put a formidable stake into the Compass Pathways, a publicly traded psychedelic medicine company. Peter Thiel, the guy that took down Gawker. Remember him? That was his deal.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah, he was a pissy old fart. but here's the weirder one. New drug appearing on the menu for moneyed types in search of mind expansion.
Okay.
The toad, otherwise known as 5-MeO-DMT, which is the kind of the drug designation for it.
Sure.
I'm not doing the full name because that looks like a nightmare. Or DMT or Buffo, some people call it. Buffo?
I have no idea.
It's toad venom. People are they're taking the toad venom.
I didn't realize toads had venom.
Well, only some, not all.
Just the venomous toads.
Like poisonous frogs
or
whatever.
Just the poison dart frogs and stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
So they're poison. He loved them and turned them into a toad.
Yeah. It's one of the most potent psychotropic drugs ever discovered.
Wow.
Let's see. I'm reading down here because they like this article is more of an essay. Let's see. What exactly are these people smoking? It is the venom of the Sonoran Desert toad, the Buffo alvarius. which contains the molecule, this molecule we're talking about, one of the most potent drugs ever discovered. Until recently, it was so obscure in the U.S., the government didn't even list it on their controlled substances until 2011. For 9 months of the year in the Sonoran Desert, toads live under the sand of the Mexican desert to survive in the scorching heat. But when the winter rains arrive, they emerge like in a Caligula-like orgy of eating and fornicating.
Great.
Yeah. And then while they're in that state, you want to get them because their neck, sides of their neck and legs emit this venom so toxic it will cause death to a predator within seconds. But if you refine that stuff down and smoke it, Oh yeah. It says here, some describe it as a fusion with God, a visceral connection with the divine source of all life.
Okay. All right.
Hunter Biden said it, described it as the salve to help him kick his drug addiction.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's
okay.
What he says. Wow. Let's see if anyone else famous says
anything. Don't let the right get a hold of that.
Yeah. According to this article, today's America's...
Relax, the man whose son...
The average American.
Injects toad venom. I say.
I will have... All right. Moving on to... Oh, you know what we're going to do now? We're going to take a break because Schleicher is coming in. And when he gets here, boy, howdy, do all the socks come off. So get ready for that, you guys. It's going to be great. That'll be coming up next.
You better take them off now because they're going to get knocked off in a minute.
Yeah, it's going to get nuts in here. But before we do, a song, Brian.
Sure. How about Oklahoma for this one. Indie pop duo Sports. That's the band name, Sports. They have a new full-length album coming out called Get a Good Look. This one comes out February 11th via Naked Records. Big thanks to Clarion Call Media for letting me know about this. This is the first single for the album, and you can find the music video on YouTube or just listen to it on Spotify if your name is not Neil Young. Mm-hmm. Here is Damn, I'm Tired by the band Sports.
Just Hello, and welcome to Seduction Through Hypnosis, the revolutionary new way of seducing the woman of your dreams.
No, not the buttons! Not my gumdrop buttons!
This is the Morning Stream.
All right, we're back. That song again.
That song again is the band Sports and a brand new song called Get a Good Look, which is, I'm sorry, the song's called Damn I'm Tired from their album Get a Good Look, which comes out February 11th.
February. That's fantastic. All right. We're in the midst of a revolution where we add major spoiler zone Stephen Schleicher to the call. Which should happen pretty quick here if I have all my buttons in a row. I do. All right, here we go.
Stephen Schleicher.
Hey, look who it is. It's Stephen Schleicher joining us as he does each and every Monday to talk about all things major spoilers. Hello, Stephen. How are you?
Hello, Scott. Hello, Brian.
Hello.
Hey, Brian, I have a question for you. Is your light reacting to your voice? Is that what I'm seeing in
the
background? Yes,
the one behind me. It's any sound. Yeah.
Okay.
Any sound in the room?
Any sound in the room, and it's incredibly sensitive. So I'll be playing music, and it'll go low, and I'll still see that thing kind of flash. It's amazing.
Okay. Yeah. Did you ever here? Let me ask you if this makes it move.
Do you ever break out the glow sticks and just have a party?
I don't. I should though.
Yeah, easily you should. Will it go off if you do one of these? A little fart there in the room.
It will. Yeah. So if you ever see me do this. Then you'll know I farted.
Okay, that's good to know.
Push the fart. I may mute my microphone to fart, but that'll be the dead giveaway back there.
Love it. Well, Stephen, it's good to have you back, of course. We like to have you come on here. All things comics and fun, cool stuff happens over there at majorspoilers.com. If you don't visit there on the regular, then you're some kind of psycho and you should do it. He's also got tons and tons of content happening on his podcast network every week, so make sure you check that stuff out. But let's talk instead today about a thing that pissed me off so bad it's all I could think about for a couple of days, and that was the banning in Tennessee, the 10-0 vote in a school district to ban the Pulitzer Prize winning comic book Mouse by Art Spiegelman, which chronicles, I guess it was his father or grandfather.
His father. And so the whole thing is him trying to work on his relationship with his father, who spent time in a Nazi concentration camp. I can't remember if it was Dachau or one of the others, but it was one of the more brutal camps that his father was in. So this whole thing is told through flashbacks of the time his father grew up, going into the ghettos, and then being moved into the concentration camps, and just the horrible, horrible, horrible things that happened in there.
Yeah.
So you've got obviously Nazis in here. You have some depictions of really harsh brutality. You also have the word damn. Oh, my goodness. The word damn.
Oh, no, not that. It's going to corrupt us all.
Oh, no, damn.
Apparently, eighth graders will be corrupted because the McMinn County School Board voted 10-0, just like you said, that this book should be removed from the school.
Yeah, what they said, and they put out a letter later after the initial backlash, and they said that we're all about teaching about the Holocaust so that it never happens again, but this book has unnecessary nudity and swear words, and we think we can teach that. And I'm like, boy, you don't know the half of what the Holocaust had in it. Boy,
yeah. Howdy. I don't know about you guys, but we had, when I was in high school, we had a section on Holocaust, and of course we all read Anne Frank, but we watched these movies that showed us what the horrors of the Holocaust were, and it was just like, here are a bunch of naked bodies, and this is how bad it was for them. Or starved. Here's a bunch of starved, dumped into pits. They're just showing these things, and it was.
We saw all that stuff.
I mean, it was shocking. Yeah, we saw all that stuff in high school,
and that was the point. Like, wow. The point was, it's as bad as it's worse than you think it is. So here, look at it. And never have this happen again.
Those who don't learn about history are doomed to repeat it.
Well, damn straight.
I say that all the time to my students.
So when I see a book like this get banned, first of all, this thing had a huge impact on me when I read it forever ago.
Now, when did you read it? I read it in middle school, about the same time as the kids who are that they're trying to ban this.
It was high school, so it was a little later for me. But and I did it. It wasn't like a thing they wanted us to read, or there wasn't anything like that. It was like I picked it up because my friends and I were into comics, and we were like, this seems neat, and I just was blown away by it.
The comic store that I went to out here. Oh, man, I missed that comic store.
Yeah.
CCB. They heavily promoted it and said, you know, they knew I had a regular box there. Those were my uncle and I had regular boxes there that we'd come in and get. And they said, you've got to pick this up.
Yeah, it's really, really good. It's also this thing where they combine an art form that I already like and respect and do it with this really heavy subject matter. And it does it so, well mm-hmm. that it's an insanely cool thing. And the fact that they banned it told me a couple of things. One, I don't think they've actually read it. That's usually the case.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that maybe one or two people on that board saw the cover and enough for them was that there's a swastika there and we don't want a swastika on a book because they're not actually paying attention to what maybe is in the book. I don't know. I don't want to speak for those people, but the most Nazi ass thing you can do about a book that condemns Nazis is to ban the book about Nazis. Do you know what I mean?
Like yeah, book no, banning, you're absolutely right.
It just
on
fried
that.
Me. Yeah. I'm so pissed. Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. Okay. Yes, we can all get very upset over a book that came out in 1981. It has consistently been the target for book bannings at schools. And this is not just a one instance. Book bannings are happening all the time. Also in this same week, Florida Polk County School Board removed 15 books from their library. A lot of them LGBTQA+. I think I forgot the I plus group in there. And so it's not that this is an isolated incident. These things are happening all the time.
Yeah.
And it infuriates me. We've seen bans. I mean, this is in the school system, but we have seen comic books that have been burned and banned. Book burnings, same way with records, have undergone the exact same thing. So every form of art and media has been attacked by those people with very narrow closed minds because they think it's going to make these kids act up, get out of control. Maybe
whatever it is. And every generation, everyone does stupid shit like this. Yeah. And I get it. I mean, the adults in the room are often not very good adults. But here's the way I would do it. And the bigger stink right now is that it's easy to say, oh, you get all upset about a book getting banned. But nobody seems too upset about everybody trying to cancel their Spotify accounts because of this whole Joe Rogan mess. And somebody, David Spiegel, said something that I thought was just about perfect. He says, canceling a subscription because you oppose a company's policy is exactly how free enterprise is supposed to work. Companies are free to stay the course or make a better product. That's not censorship. Book banning is censorship. 100%. Mm-hmm. Couldn't agree more. I wish everyone would quit making that fallacy of a comparison. It's not even close. It's apples and oranges in the truest sense. And my gosh, did the comic book world step up for this, though? Like, comic book stores all around the country are giving away free copies of the thing. Multiple well-to-do people I know on the internet are sending copies to people who request them in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Who was it? Was it Will Wheaton just bought, like, a ton of them and just gave them to everybody?
Oh, really?
And there's some comic book stores that are just like, Come on in and get one. We're just going to have them here. They're just going to be here. If you can't get it at your school, we're giving away copies of this thing. So it isn't, you know, the reaction has been swift and good and does my heart well. And it's also selling out everywhere. Amazon can't keep them in stock. They're, you know, mm-hmm. number one sellers everywhere. You know, I don't know what they expected to have happen. I think they thought it would just be this quiet little thing. You know, because we're down here in Tennessee, we don't like no books about naked mice.
No, but like I said, this kind of stuff is happening all the time. We think these books should be removed for review or whatever. And librarians have a really tough time because they're the ones that are often caught in the middle of, well, do I follow what the school board policy is? Or do I look at these books and say, no, these are books that are fine to be on the shelves. They don't contain anything that is causing harm. And so those are the people that are really stuck in the middle. But yes, you're right. What we're seeing is the Streisand effect. Happening where if you don't say anything about it, no one's going to find out about it. But the minute that it becomes public, everybody wants to go look it up. And I'm glad that people are going out and seeking Mouse and other books in that same vein.
Yeah.
But a lot of things that people could do, this doesn't necessarily impact you know, some of the other books that have been banned, but definitely go check out the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund. They're one of the groups that actively try to work to keep books, and specifically comic books, from being banned in schools and curriculum across the country.
Yeah. Well, it's my guess is we're not done with the conversation,
no.
But everyone's swift and hard reaction is a happy at least we got that. You know what I mean?
There's probably a small contingent of very squeaky wheels who are making a big deal of it, and that's probably what convinced the school board to vote that way, yeah. Which is unfortunate. And that's, you know
what people are bad at? You know what people are really bad at usually is admitting they were wrong and reinstating it. That's what they're bad at.
Yeah, they usually double down on that.
Yeah. I mean, that letter they put out is the most double down bullshit I've ever read. So good luck, Tennessee. You could do better. elect better school board officials. That's what I'm saying. Yep. All right. Hey, so there's that. That's a fun story. Let's move on to something a little less dire. A sequel to the Mortal Kombat movie is on its way. What do you think of that? You like that, Steven? You know?
I haven't watched the most recent Mortal Kombat.
Oh, you should. Movie. It's fun. It's dumb, but fun. Dumb fun.
Okay, here's the deal.
It's well made.
Yeah, it's well made and stupid. It's stupid and good.
I'll make a deal with you, Scott.
Yeah.
The weekend that you sit down to watch Loki, I will sit down and watch Mortal Kombat. You just text me and say, hey, man, I'm sitting down to watch Loki. And I'll say, OK, great. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to watch Mortal Kombat.
All right. You know what?
Glove has been thrown.
All right. I'll pick up your glove the way Adam Driver did in The Last Duel and make this work.
And I'll finish Arcane that weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. Brian will finish Arcane. By the way, I did watch that, Brian. Or I told Brian, but I'll say it on the air. I watched The Last Duel and I am telling you now, we riot if Jodie Comer doesn't get nominated for Best Actress. She blew my freaking mind.
She's incredible. She's always,
that whole movie hinges on
killing
her.
Eve and stuff, but and Rey's mom, Rey Skywalker's mom.
I'm telling you, the entirety of that movie hinges on how well she does, the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. She's amazing in it. So Brian was right to not only recommend that movie, but and I was going to see it anyway. It's Ridley Scott. Yeah, I watch all his movies.
It's Ridley Scott, of course.
Yeah. It was freaking great. Anyway, so back to this. Back to Pokemon Go. No, where were we? Oh, Mortal Kombat. So to that other one, the one that came out on HBO Max and stuff first and then some theater run or whatever, did it do well? Did we make money?
It did okay. It earned $42 million domestically and $83 million worldwide, which a lot of people would sit there and go, oh, that's a flop. That's a failure. But you got to remember, that was last April when we were in the middle of pandemic and they really didn't push a cinema release. So I think that's probably pretty good. And the thing that a lot of places are not reporting is, okay, if this released on a streaming platform first, how much money are they accounting for those subscriptions account for, that portion of what would have been box office. So, do you take 5% of your monthly subscription and that's how much Mortal Kombat made? Do you take, 10% of your HBO Max subscription and say that's how much Dune made? Those kinds of things. So that's something that no one has really kind of started to slice down and look at, except for maybe Black Widow, Scarlett Johansson with her lawsuit against Disney, which they, I believe, quietly just paid that off.
Mm. Oh, okay. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. It's a, whatever. It was a garbage movie, but in a good way. It was just a good time.
Here's the thing that you probably don't realize. Well, you probably realize it, Scott, but there's what, like 11 Mortal Kombat video games. Yeah. Most people don't remember past three.
Yeah.
There's like 10 Mortal Kombat movies out there.
Yeah.
So, they obviously are hitting a certain dopamine hit for everybody. And so people are wanting more of this stuff. And if they can make more of this stuff and make some money off of it, then good. I don't have a problem with it. I think the interesting thing is Jeremy Slater, who is the screenwriter for the upcoming Moon Knight series, he is going to be writing the Mortal Kombat sequel.
Oh, well, let's hope that series is good. And that might say good things about his upcoming film. But we don't know about that show yet because, it's not out, I guess.
I think it looks interesting.
Yeah, it does look interesting. Moon Knight, when I was in high school, I thought was the coolest character. I loved Moon Knight. And I thought, man, Moon Knight's cool. The older I got, the more I was like, oh, he's just sort of Marvel's Batman, and he's crazy, and it's fine.
He's Marvel's Batman with schizophrenia, though, and he's like a bunch of different people, which is which is great.
Yeah. So, but then I came back around and I'm like all back in now. So cool. Bring it on. Cool. Let's go. I'm ready. What are you taking so long for? by the way, those the new MK games, they still sell like a trillion of them. I mean,
oh, yeah. Yeah,
Mortal
yeah.
Kombat 11 was a huge hit. Currently on Game Pass if you don't want to buy it or spend money.
Nobody learns from the previous game release, so they just jump and buy it again.
Yeah, you just keep going. You just keep pounding your head against that wall.
Yeah.
All right.
Speaking of video games, anybody get the new Pokemon game?
No, I hear it's great, though.
My son had to have it the day that it came out, so we went and bought it. And then he went over to his friend's house and all three of them had it and they just were playing it all night long. They just really get a kick out of it. He says it's like what's the big Switch game?
Breath of the Wild.
It's like Breath of the Wild meets Pokemon.
Yeah, I've heard it's really? It's open world. So it's this huge open world and reviews
and
are really good.
Pokemon can kill you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're scary. They're actually scary in the game. Yeah, this is it's
you mean I've got to stop playing Astroneer long enough to play something different.
Look,
can't do it.
You got to play. You got to play, Brian. It's a bold new direction, says most reviews.
Wow.
Tore up the rule book and broke new ground. They have created the greatest Pokemon in 20 years. Wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right.
I want to check it out. I'm legit interested.
As soon as I can.
Legends Arceus,
grab it for my son.
I'm legit interested because the idea of an open world Pokemon game is way more interesting to me than the typical linear. Sort
for
of
sure.
Go to town.
Go to this town, and now you fight this trainer, and he's going to send you to this town, and then you fight that trainer.
Not really my jam anymore, but this might be. Might have to give it a shot. All right, Steven, all good stuff as always. Anything happening this week on Major Spoilers you'd like fans to know about?
I would be on the lookout as we get closer and closer to Valentine's Day. We're going to have a gift guide. If you want to buy some comic book geekery stuff for your favorite person in your life, we'll have a couple of gift guides coming up. I think this week is when they're coming up on the site. So be on the lookout for that.
All right. Well, that is good news. Steven Schleicher, everybody. Majorspoilers.com. Take it easy. We'll see you next time. Oh, stay hydrated.
Stay hydrated.
I usurped him. I am a
you
usurper.
You did. You're super usurper.
I am a usurper.
You usurper.
Hey, look at this. Time for a mashup that was supposed to be played Thursday. But since you left, I was like, I'm not listening to this by myself. I have to have Brian
well,
here.
I'm glad.
Yeah, so I held on to it. And it's called, what is it called? Hold on. It is called Up and Down the Tip. Yeah. Don't know what that'll be about, but whoo boy. All right, here we go. Enjoy. Yeah. All right.
I think they're macaques.
Macaques.
What you got there, buddy?
Ah, it's nothing but me cock.
Like that?
Well, you changed it to me cock, which... Watching the two of you lick the head. It's just, wow.
He said he was...
Oh, those look like they've been augmented. Are those real?
Oh, no. These are not my
real
boobs.
Are those real and they're spectacular?
These are my fake boobs. She tells me I have to get it up at least an inch and a half to 2 inches.
So interesting. Okay.
So I put my finger where that is, okay?
Yeah.
To make sure I've got that much length on it. And also, I like them shorter, so that's perfect. It's almost the size of this end of this cable dongle. Yeah.
What?
Not that
like
not that
length,
wide.
But not the length, but not the width.
That, yes, the length... And then the width is about the same as the length. And I'm talking hard here. I'm talking like...
Define how hard. Like, well, there's one right there for Jamie, right?
Yep. Well done. It still would be hard, right?
It would be very hard.
Can't find the opening. Oh, geez, Jamie. And I mean like, I was moaning while I was eating it.
Oh.
Yeah, it stinks.
I don't like the smell of that.
Yeah, it stinks. Ooh, I do like it though. Those were nice and stretched out, you know, like you do. There's no way I penetrated that.
I'm not going to go soft on that. Come on.
You were full throated on that. That was amazing. It kind of comes quick, and then you're like, uh-oh, and then it's like, no, we're good, just settle in.
Not getting really anything out of that. You suck it, but you don't get anything out of it.
No, because right now he's just holding it. He's got it out.
Oh, like, really? Okay.
I'm like, oh, he's got it out. What's he going to do with it now that it's out?
Please enjoy it. You may see small dots.
What? The important part is a Christmas miracle happened in my mouth, and I was so mad.
You know, now that you say it, I can really taste the conclusion.
Yeah, the conclusion is, it's there. How do you want to do this? Do you need to pull out?
Ah, my gosh, that actually hurt getting that one out.
That hurt.
Oh, this is just too hard.
I don't feel like it lasted very long.
It didn't last long enough. I'm going to get it, and I'm not going to know what to do with
it. Look how big it is in his hands, by the way. Look at that. That is a big effing... That looks like a gigantic...
Because that guy's pretty big.
Okay, keep moving down the tip. Wait, that sounds wrong.
Move down the tip. It's good. Got it.
Yeah, move up and down the tip until you find your problem. All right, I'm like legit worried about Jamie and the state of his mind when he made that mashup. That is insane.
I know. It's hard to believe we said half of that horrible stuff, even out of context.
Even half. Well, well done there, Jamie. Jamie's always, you know, cranking these out. He says he's got a couple of real zingers coming. So watch for those nice. TMS mashups on Twitter. Tell him how much you like this stuff because we like it when he does it. Yeah. Okay.
Hey, Scott, are you doing any other other podcast? Anything else today that is coming out that we want to hear?
Well, you got Play Retro today, so that's happening, and that'll be a little bit later today, 3:30 Mountain Time, if you want to watch it live. But you know, the audio version's good too, so go check that out. Play Retro wherever you get your podcasts. Brian, do you have anything else that you want to
mention? I don't. I wasn't doing that to lead into something I was going to put up. Normally, there would be a Soundography going up today, but it's going to be tomorrow because I just ended up with too much work from Thursday and Friday to fix and catch up on to do it this morning. So
nice.
Tomorrow morning, a new Soundography.
You will all get what you want then. Hey, don't forget, Patreon needs you. Patreon.com/TMS. As of tomorrow, we got a new month, baby. Yeah, that's right. It'll be 2/2/22 soon. And to get on board, you don't have to do anything but just go to the website, patreon.com/TMS. Be like Bill Ellis at the Deal Me In level or Verstrate Francois Valeray. Speaking of Last Duel, sounds like one of those characters. He's at the grade A level. And of course, Casey at the grade A level as well. Thank you three and everyone else who supports us on patreon.com/TMS. For everything else, frogpants.com/TMS. TMS, rather. Hey, we're done. Hey, Brian, you want to play another song to go out with?
I will. And this is it's great because this is the one that was going to be on Thursday before the power just completely went out in the house here. So this one's going out to Gwen. Says, hey, it's Gwen, your tea chick. Today, the 27th, is the 6th anniversary of starting on hormones and beginning my gender transition into the happy, healthy woman I am today. Yay! I've come a long damn way, and I'm going to celebrate my hormoniversary, traniversary, rebirthday, whatever you want to call it, like my birthday. You played Orville Peck's cover of Fancy last time. Someone requested a trans cover, and I loved it. So, if you please, play me another trans cover. If you can't figure anything out, just play me your favorite cover by or of Hailstorm. The harder, the better. Love you guys. Love, Gwen.
Nice. Well, I like Hailstorm
Gwen,
a lot.
We love you. And
yeah, Hailstorm's great.
Oh, yeah. But that's not who we're playing, so...
Oh. Well, all right then.
So call them great all you want, but that's not who's coming up. No, when I think of powerful and prominent transgender performers in the music industry, the first one that comes to mind is Lisa Jane. What is her Lisa Jane something from Against Me? Why am I forgetting her full name?
Lisa Marie Presley. Here.
Laura Jane Grace, not Lisa. Laura Jane Grace.
There you go.
She is an icon for being prominent and out there with her real identity, which is as a strong female lead. They released the song, the cover of the Jim Carroll classic, People Who Died. I love list songs, so this is a favorite of mine. This is from the album Songs That Saved My Life from 2018. Here is Against Me, covering Jim Carroll's People Who Died.
Teddy's sleeping blue, he was 12 years old, fell from the roof on East 29. Kathy was 11 when they pulled the plug, 26 reds and a bottle of wine. Bobby got leukemia at 14 years old, he looked like 65 when he died. He was a friend of mine, those are people who died.
Those are people who died. Those are people who died. Those are people. subway train. Eddie got slit in the jugular vein. And Eddie, I miss you more than all the others. And I salute you, brother. Those are people who died, died. Those are people who died, died. Those are people who died, died. Oh, those are people who died, died. They're all my friends when they die. Thought his rage was just some goof, but Herbie sure gave Tony some bitchin' proof. And Herbie said, Tony, can you fly? But Tony couldn't fly. Tony died. Those are people who die, die. Those are people who die, die. Those are people who die, die. Those are people who die. They're all my friends, just died. Brian got busted on a narco rap. By ratting on some bikers. He said, hey, I know it's dangerous, but it sure beats Rikers. But the next day, he got offed by the very same bikers. Those are people who die, die. 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 They're all my friends, they all die. On East 29, Kathy was 11 when she pulled the plug. 26 leads in a bottle of wine. Bobby got leukemia at 14 years old. He looked like 65 when he died. He was a friend of mine. Those are people who died, died. Those are people who died, died. Oh, those are people who died, died. Those are people who died. They're all my friends. They just died. G-Berg and Georgie let their gimmicks go rotten, so they died of hepatitis. Titus in Upper Manhattan. Sly in Vietnam took a bullet in the head. Bobby OD'd on Drano on the night that he was wed. They were two more friends of mine. I miss them, they died. Those are people who died, died. Those are people who died, died. Oh, those are people who died, died. Those are people who died. They're all my friends, and then they died. Carrie took a dry dive from a hotel room. Bobby hung himself from a cell in the tombs. Judy jumped in front of a subway train. Eddie got slit in the jugular vein. And Eddie, I miss you more than all the others. This song's for you, my brother. Those are people who died, died. 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 They're all my friends, they all died. Those are people who died, 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 died. They're all my friends and they all died.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
All right, now this in case you have to, you know, irk.
Irk.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.